everyone.
Welcome to Rock Talk Happy Hour. My name is Mario, here with Kimberly, Britt, and Frank. This is the podcast about craft beer and music. So every episode, we try different craft beers, both non-alcoholic and alcoholic. Mm-hmm. We discuss them, we rate them, sometimes we learn a little bit about them, all while discussing music-related topics. Right, guys?
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Cool. All right. So usually when we kick off the show, we have two little segments. One is the hangover segment, where we talk about things we forgot to talk about last topic. Or sometimes it's just 5 minutes of us making dry heave sounds. Right? No?
Yeah.
Okay. And our other segment is just what are we drinking? We just talk about what we're drinking before we kick off the topics. So I guess with that said,
what was our last topic?
People we met.
People we've met. Musicians, yeah. So do you guys have any hangover from that?
No, I feel like I've listed all the ones I've wanted to wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kim, you have any hangover? Okay, I had a hangover.
Although I don't, well, just before you go, I don't know if this even really counts, but there were times like in high school, you know, I had my car and late at night I'd go to the pick stand just to get like a late night burger. And I guess bands that would play at the paper, at the White Rabbit at the time, they were looking for a late night place to eat. And so a lot of bands would pull through, you know, so didn't really meet them, but they just like passed by me. And I knew who they were.
So like, you for saw instance, them live and in person.
Live and in person, eating a sandwich.
You don't, somebody somebody told me a story once of bumping into somebody at the pig stand. Was it you?
Yeah, I ran into some of the dudes from. Well, I didn't run into them. They ran into me. some of the dudes from Mudvayne.
That's right. Oh yeah, I remember the story. Yeah.
And what else? Some like death metal bands also too that would eat there late at night. I mean, there's one time across the street from what's now the Paper Tiger, there's this Greek restaurant called Demos. And this death metal band was playing. And it's funny because I was there getting some food. And this, I was like, maybe I was fresh out of high school. And this guy who's in one of the bands, you could just tell he's in one of the bands. He was there eating with this chick, but the guy looked so uncomfortable. You know, he was wearing like super, super tight leather pants and like super, super fitted shirt. And he was just sitting straight and couldn't even really move at all. And he had like a big ass like plate. And I was like, there's no way you're going to eat all that. you're essentially, yeah, your clothes fit you like a body cast.
That's funny.
Yeah. Wow. I don't remember the name of that band, but he just had that band look to him.
All right, I'm gonna see if I can find some pictures.
Yeah.
So my hangover is a little stupid. It's part of the story that Frank had told initially about when we met Cold and Evanescence.
Oh yeah.
So it was just a little brief extension of just some stupid stuff that happened with that. So. For those of you who heard last episode, long story short, me and Frank got to meet Cold and Evanescence when we were younger. What was this? What was the year again? Like 2003?
2003.
Yeah, it was 2003 for the Nintendo Fusion Tour. So anyways, so of course the show is, this is during the week. Mm-hmm. And I remember it's during the week. It took me a while to register in my head because we were talking about the sticker that I had gotten, the little backstage pass, the little purple sticker. And I remember that, you two specifically, but I could pull it up for Britt if she wanted to see it. So we were taking yearbook pictures, I think, the following day or 2 days later. And so for my yearbook picture, I actually took a picture of the shirt that I bought at the concert with the sticker still on the shirt. So if you look at the yearbook, I still have the sticker on my shirt. Stupid little dorky thing I did. Another thing. It was high school.
Like, so was anything actually cool? No, we were all dorks.
So I was a freshman and Frank was a sophomore. Mm-hmm. So another thing that had happened was, so obviously, like I was saying, this was during the week and I didn't realize that I remember something that had happened. And what happened was, so of course the show was after school. Right. Hours. It was in the evening. Well, in order for us to go to that show, we had to skip band practice. Mm-hmm. We had a mandatory practice for some shit, whatever. And we ended up skipping it. And so when we get back the next day, we're So me and Frank had band at different periods because I was in the drum line and he played woodwind. So we never had the same class. We were only together after school. So when I got to class that day, me and our friend Daniel got in trouble. And so they were asking us like where we were and stuff. And we were like, well, we went to a concert. And so like they would make us do pushups.
Yeah.
So we had to do 100 pushups. Right. So I was like, fucking like, damn. Right. And I was like, this sucks. Like, I wonder how many Frank got through, right? And so I don't know if Frank remembers this part of the story, but later on I asked him, I was like, dude, how many push-ups did they make you do? He said they didn't make him do any push-ups, but I had to do 100 push-ups. We're skipping band practice. I don't remember, but you let me know.
I think it's because you're a drum line.
Yeah, and but we had the same directors though.
Yeah, but I think there were, y'all were probably less. Like they had more reserves of like the woodwind instruments and the brass instruments than they did the drum line.
So you didn't do any push-ups, right?
I didn't do any push-ups, no. But
they didn't notice that Frank wasn't there.
They didn't notice. They were like, oh, you were. Like, oh,
we had all the clarinets or whatever. Right. I don't know.
I didn't.
So they didn't miss Frank. They were like, you know. But if you're missing a drum, you're like one of two snare players, they're like, what?
Yeah, sounds different today.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess I never thought of it like that, but still, we ditched band practice and yeah, I got to do 100 push-ups.
Although I almost got threatened with not performing Chili Bowl 2003.
Oh, for real?
Because we had a game on Halloween night.
Yeah.
I remember, I think. But I went to go see A Perfect Circle instead.
Oh.
And because I missed that Halloween game because...
I was there.
Was that at Sonia Garden?
It was at the Freeman Coliseum.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I thought, you know, I've never been to a show on Halloween night.
It was on Halloween. Yeah, so, the band dressed up.
Yeah.
In costume.
So I went to go see... What are they dressed up as? Okay, so I think
Maynard
Billy
was a clown. He had like a giant wig and giant shoes.
He was Wiggles the clown.
The drummer was dressed as the like a Devo with the dome.
And he eventually ended up playing for Devo. Like he joined Devo.
Oh,
and
wow.
James Iha was Dorothy from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Billy Howardo was a gay sailor.
Yeah.
And Jordy played his former self as Twiggy.
Oh, okay.
So it was cool. But yeah, I ended up skipping that high school band show to go see A Perfect Circle, and I was threatened with like not performing at Chili Bowl the following weekend. But I did anyway. I managed to sweet talk our band director
into doing it.
Mr. Band Director, sir.
Yeah, actually, the first. One of the other concerts, I don't know which one it was, too, in middle school, I did the same thing. I don't remember if I got in trouble or not, but I did. I probably did. But, yeah, I ditched that, too. Well, that's even worse because it was only, like, one snare in that band, which is me. So, I probably did get in trouble.
Yeah.
But anyways, so, okay, on to what we're drinking. Who wants to go first?
I'm waiting for you to pour.
Okay, cool. So,
I'm drinking nothing right now.
So, I brought any non-alcoholic for us to try, because I know Frank and Brett usually bring those. We have one from a brewery that we've had beers from, Athletic Brewing Co. This one's called All Out. It's a non-alcoholic extra dark. So, of course, it's non-alcoholic, so it's less than 0.5%. And where's this brewery from again? They were from...
I think they're from California.
Yeah, they're from California. San Diego. Kim, would you do the honors, please? You can pour them a little bit in there, and we'll have a little bit in the can, and then we'll give it a shot and see what we think.
Cool.
So
it looks like a stout.
It's dark.
Yeah.
So have you had a lot of dark non-alcoholics?
Yeah, I had the Hairless Dog.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That we had that one, yeah.
That one's dark. That one's good. It can be a little heavy, but it's good. And then there was that one that you got me that one time. Was it Bravest Brewing?
Oh, the Bravest one. Oh, that was the coffee porter or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That one was good. I think it was like an oatmeal.
There you go.
Oatmeal stout.
Oatmeal stout. That's what it was.
Yeah, that one was good.
Well, you guys do the honors and see.
Sure.
See what it tastes like. See how you like it. Actually, how does it smell?
Oh, this is so good.
Oh, the sucker punch.
It smells good. It smells,
dark.
Sounds dark.
All right.
See. Dang, that's good.
All right.
Wow, that's good. That's
all
good.
All right, let's see. You got to talk about.
Oh, man.
Yeah? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Kim, you're up.
Wow.
Getting the taste of watermelon.
I forgot you. Yeah, I forgot you had that. We've had that before. Right? Yeah, with Britt. It was the, remember the one that tasted like sour punch straws?
Yeah.
Yeah. So oh my gosh. They actually got new artwork for the can.
Okay,
so.
I was like, yeah, I don't recognize the can.
Yeah, so we found
this
another
is
one.
So good. I didn't want it to end. And it's gone.
Yeah, actually, our store that we go to, our grocery store, is actually starting to carry more breweries now. They're actually carrying Belching Beaver beers, and they actually have the Deftones in stock. When I ordered it online and paid a shitload in shipping, now they have like a whole thing full of so Belching Beaver now, which is pretty cool. So
that's a gross name.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
I wonder if they're pushing them out more since they're not touring, and that's
they're pushing all kinds of breweries out. Yeah, there, but
it's not bad.
Not bad?
No.
Okay, let's see. Do you like it? Let's see.
It tastes a bit mocha flavorish to me.
Yeah, it tastes like coffee. It tastes like coffee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With a little bit of a, there's a little aftertaste to it.
I know, like it sounds kind of stupid.
Hoppy aftertaste, I guess, a little.
I feel like a lot of the times the non-alcoholics are like missing something, well, obviously.
Yeah.
But like this one doesn't taste like it's missing anything.
Yeah, no, this one's
usually
good.
Usually they taste like watered down to me, like if you put ice in beer and then let it sit or something and then drink it.
Yeah.
But this one doesn't taste like it's missing anything.
I mean, I like it. I would give it like a, I don't drink non-alcoholics as often. I know as Frank does, but I'd probably give it like a 3.9. No, you know what? I'll go with a 4. Go with a 4.
Yeah, same. 4.
Okay, Frank, 4. I give it a 4. Kim and Britt, what do you give it?
Excuse me. I was going to go 4.2.
4.2. All right. Kim?
Three point seven.
Okay. Well, because also, too, I guess it goes into consideration, too, that Kim's not really a fan of the darker beers in the first place.
I just have Berliner.
Yeah, so she likes the Weiss styles, the sours and stuff when we do find good ones. But that's what Kim's drinking, the Three Nations Brewing.
Sucker Punch Watermelon Berliner Weiss.
Which is basically made with, I think it's made with
this. But it doesn't, made from real candy.
Yeah, so they use like.
Those Sour Punch straws.
Sour Punch straws,
cool.
And that's my favorite candy. I'm not having like sugar and sweets right now, obviously. Well, today was an exception, but. Yeah. They sell the red ones, like the heart candies, and I made Mario buy me some bags, and they're just staring at me in the pantry. I'm like, I have to wait till Valentine's.
Yeah,
I was gonna give myself like a treat.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I was gonna say, Frank, what were you drinking before? Well, you were drinking Coke, right?
Yeah, cherry Coke. Right. Obviously non-alcoholic.
And then, Britt, what were you drinking before?
I was drinking the one that we tried last week, the Brooklyn Special Effects, but the IPA.
Oh yeah, you guys left us with one. I drank it. That was pretty good. I liked it too.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right. Well, I guess with that said, and then if we have any other beers to come, I guess we'll finish this and then I'll open the one.
What I like about this one is. Like Kim said, it tastes like it's got everything in there. I think for me, it could be a little more robust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if it had a little bit of a fuller flavor, I think I'd probably go with the full 5 points on it.
Yeah.
I noticed it has a significantly higher calorie count than their other.
90 calories.
90 calories, which is not much compared to real beer, but compared to that company's other brands, like I think the... Upside Down has like 32 calories, and one of the ones...
It's like 25 or something?
Yeah. That might be the Juicy Matt.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's like one of them has like 17. There's a non-alcoholic from Sapporo, the Japanese brewery, that has 0 calories.
Speaking of Japanese, I don't know, Frank, you heard the news, but with Foo Fighters coming out with new stuff, they actually partnered with a... company in Japan that makes sake. I didn't know the band is big fans of sake, and they're actually coming out with 2 limited edition Foo Fighters sakes. I actually went to the website, which is in Japanese, and I read an announcement saying that they're right now the plan is to only release it in Japan, which sucks
because
that company does do overseas shipping, so they do ship over here to the States, but for that Foo Fighters release, it's only going to be in Japan for now. And it's,
I know it probably sounds silly, but do they? I mean, they have a following right in Japan, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do.
I just didn't know how big a following they had in Japan.
Mm-hmm. I guess so, especially if it's only going to be a Japanese release.
Yeah. I think it's Arctic Monkeys, was it? I think they have a... No, not Arctic Monkeys. That band Phoenix, we talked about them.
Mm. Oh, Phoenix, okay.
Yeah, like bands named after places.
Yeah.
Yeah, they also too have their own brand of sake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they partnered with some like chef in Japan. Cool. So I think they're releasing, I think they have one out, and I think they're in the works of releasing another two.
Oh, that's crazy. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully I'm going to try. I want to see how much that Foo Fighters sake is, see if I can get at least one bottle. I do like sake. I mean, we haven't had it too many times. I've had it like a handful of times. Yeah. I see it at the grocery store sometimes. I see it at the grocery store sometimes. I want to get some, but yeah. So it looks like everybody kind of opened a new beer.
Yeah,
I did.
So what are
I
you
got
drink?
Wine. I'm just not drinking out of
so
any
what are
you
drinking?
You the same wine from
you're drinking
last
a,
week.
And what are you
not in my Yeti.
Drinking.
I actually have one glass. I opened an IPA, non-alcoholic IPA from, do you say Bravis or Bravis?
Bravis, yeah.
Brewing
Bravis.
Company. So, yeah, I don't think we've had this one before on the show or at all.
The can looks familiar, but I don't know if they use that on all their artwork.
I think we had it after the show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So this is interesting. Britt, you don't like IPAs, right? Like,
yeah, no, typically I don't, but non-alcoholic IPAs are somehow much more tolerable for me. They don't have, it's not as like bitter or something. There's, and I was thinking the same thing about this one.
The dark one?
Yeah. That it doesn't have that strong, like kind of bitterness that is in typical beers of that kind and
makes
it more tolerable for me.
Yeah. It's more, it has more of a black coffee taste, like without, like if you're just drinking coffee straight without a, with a little bit of a, like, it has like a pinch of hoppiness to it. But the aftertaste is not bad. I just opened one from Martin House, one of the weird breweries here in town. We actually had quite a few of their beers, and they do a pretty good job of matching the profiles to what they say they're going to do. So this one is, it's called the First Gemini. It's an Imperial Pomegranate Sour, 9.2% ABV. This brewery is from Fort Worth, so it's close by. I like the artwork on the can. It's really cool. So this is a sour. Yeah. I'm going to give it a shot and see what it is. Smells good. Smells tangy.
Huh.
It's good. I like it. Doesn't have a weird aftertaste. I'm not really sure. I'm not familiar, I guess, with pomegranate. With
smells
the pomegranate
like a
taste. Yeah, it could. It does, except it doesn't have the weedy aftertaste. So, I mean, I like it. I give it. I think I'm with a 4 right now. I can drink another one. It doesn't have like a weird
4.3.
Okay, dang, you rated higher than me. I've been trying to find a good sour. I feel like we haven't had luck with sours either, but this one's really good.
Except for what's it called, the Austin company that makes the cucumber beer.
Ooh.
Oh, Red Bud.
Yeah, those are good.
Those are great. I can't wait to get. Till those, I guess they're seasonal. I can't wait till they come back.
Yeah.
Season, because I want some.
And probably in a few, not next episode, but an episode after, we'll probably be trying. We got the new pickle beer, which is a goze from sour goze from Frito. So I know that just came out. I know everyone's trying to compete with the pickle beer.
With the best made.
Best made, yeah. Best
made. He's licking my ankles.
Oh, I was like, what's going on? Okay, yeah. All right, Opie. So, Frank, what is this music topic about?
So this music topic, we are talking about bands who changed their names mid-career or maybe as they were getting started into their career. Some were interesting. Some were, you know, for obvious reasons, they had to change because you just look at the old name and you're like, yeah, it's a good thing they changed their name.
It's funny because these bands don't really. Somebody else has to tell them, like, you should change your name.
Yeah. I think, what was it? Finger 11? They're not on my list, but I think it was like something Butt Monkeys or.
Yeah, that's actually on my list. They were the. What was it? Rainbow Butt Monkeys?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, Rainbow Butt Monkeys. They're on my list. They were on like my honorable mention ones.
Right.
Yeah, Finger 11 was Rainbow Butt Monkeys.
It's not like their new name was much better.
Yeah, the Finger 11 one though, it actually had a reason. Yeah, it had a reason. It had to do with like some kind of philosophical thing where like if you're pointing forward. So I didn't understand it, but it had some kind of deep meaning to it. And I was like, okay. I was like, it's not like, you know, but yeah, it's a lot better than Rainbow Butt Monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
good shout out. Well, yeah, so that's the topic. Frank, you want to go first?
Yeah. Let's start off mine. Well, I don't know. Not really so much of a change, but you can figure it out on your own. Guns N' Roses.
Oh, yeah.
They started out as a combination of both L.A. Guns and Hollywood Rose. Mm-hmm. So Tracy Guns used to play guitar for L.A. Guns. And they were, at the time, short-lived. I think they only recorded like an EP. Then they broke up.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they later reunited.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, I thought they were still active.
They later reunited. But they the first time around, they recorded one EP, they broke up. And then Tracy Guns was at a, I don't know how the story came about, but eventually he became friends with Axl Rose, and Axl Rose is in a band called Hollywood Rose. And they decided to start a band, you know, and combine the two, LA Guns, Hollywood Rose, Guns N' Roses. And Tracy Guns was in Guns N' Roses for about 2-3 months. He left because it just wasn't fun anymore, is what he said. But, depending on how you look at it, I don't know. If it wasn't for him leaving, we probably would have never had Slash.
Yeah, that connects to like our What If episode, because and that's what was I gonna say? Like, well, this story that you brought up about Guns N' Roses, like I didn't know this story. Like I always wondered how they got the name, right? And I didn't know until when I came across it and then you mentioned it.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
And I don't know what he means by it wasn't fun anymore. I mean, to me, it just seems like Guns N' Roses were always having fun.
Yeah, much fun.
Yeah. But no, as far as I know, I mean, obviously, Axl Rose has always been the constant member of, the one constant member of Guns N' Roses, yeah. Even in the early incarnation, like four-fifths of the band left. Mm-hmm. And Axl was all by himself. And then, you know, Slash came in, and then the rest of the guys came in, and... So that's the Guns N' Roses that we know, classic lineup Guns N' Roses. But yeah, no, prior to that, you know, Tracy Guns played in Guns N' Roses for 2 months.
Damn, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
I feel like a lot of those bands in like the 80s, like Hollywood, like glam scene were probably all like sharing band members, right?
I mean, they're probably sharing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, but you know, that's crazy too, because like in the, and I think we've talked about this too before, mm-hmm. but like in those scenes where that does happen, mm-hmm. those are like the ones where you get those legendary bands from, because there's so many there's so much movement that like,
right.
there's a combination that clicks, like mm-hmm. some, like, you know, like it's bound to happen with all the talent, you know, switching around and stuff. That's mm-hmm. a cool story. I never knew that. I legit always wondered how they got their name, and I never looked it up.
Tracy Guns ended up playing in a band called Brides of Destruction with Nikki Sixx, like in the mid-2000s. I think that band was only around for like one album and like maybe one tour, and then they broke up. I mean, obviously, because, you know, Motley Crue was still going around. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're still going on at the time. And so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like a lot of these like one-off bands had really big names and you thought they were going to get somewhere, but then maybe egos clashed or something, or their other bands were still active, so they just put those other bands on hold.
That's another topic we've had on our list, but we haven't done. Supergroups.
Yeah.
Comes up every so often, but we should talk about that sometime, because that is interesting, like to see like who got together, and like some bands like I didn't even know were supergroups. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that sometime.
Yeah, for sure.
Put that on the list. Maybe we'll do that as episode 27, since we already talked about episode 26. Kim, Britt, which one of y'all wants to go?
I didn't do much homework this week.
That's cool. You got anything that
were you gonna talk about?
Oh, no, you can mention them.
Yeah. Well, Frankie reminded me about it, but Cat Stevens is mm-hmm. one, too, of course. But he actually changed his name when he converted to Islam and then left music for a long time and then came back later. So he changed his name to Yusuf Islam and then went back, like, now is making music again, but under Yusuf Cat mm-hmm. Stevens. Mm-hmm. So he kind of did, like, a name combo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's neither of those were his birth name. Like, his name is Stephen Dimitri mm-hmm. Giorgio, but he became mm-hmm. Cat Stevens. Mm-hmm. That was like his stage name. And then he changed his name later when he became Muslim.
Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. There's a artist too that came up on the list that I didn't know about that did the same thing. Mos Def. I like Mos Def. And he, from what I saw, he went Muslim too.
Oh, okay.
And mm-hmm. he changed his name too. And I, and that's what he goes by now as his artist name. But I had no idea.
Yeah,
and,
wow.
And I like Mos Def, mm-hmm. so. Mm-hmm. But I don't. This must have been like fairly recent because I saw him on something on TV like maybe 2 years ago. He was still going by Mos Def.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I was kind of confused.
But I think the same thing happened with the dudes from A Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
Yeah, they converted to Islam. They changed their personal names, but they kept their stage names.
Right.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I gotcha. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
Hmm. So, I mean, I guess that's some little twist to the artists who change their
names.
Yeah,
yeah, they change their names, not their band names.
Yeah,
yeah.
Change their names. Okay, I mean, okay. Yeah. That that's a that would probably be hard. That'd be like a lot of like that. Too much homework.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, so Cat Stevens.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Kim.
Yeah.
What you got?
Not much, but. Blink-182 was formerly known as a couple of names. They were originally Duct Tape, and then they changed it to Figure Eight, and then they changed it to Blink, just Blink. But there was a group from Ireland with the same name, so they changed it to Blink-182, although fans just shorten it to Blink.
To Blink anyways.
What's the 182?
I was going to ask that.
I don't know.
No? You don't know what the one... Damn. I don't know what that...
When they were duct tape, did they spell it right? Was it duct tape?
No, it was
duct
tape.
Like duck, like the duck, like an animal.
Oh, okay.
Duct tape. No, but here's another thing is some people say it's pronounced Blink 182. Others say it's 182.
Really?
Has the band ever come out and clarified that or...
I think it's 182.
Yeah, I thought that's it was 182 too. But it depends, I guess, too, what the origin of that 182 is, because I never came across that or anything like that. So unless it's just some shit where it was just like random numbers where they threw three dice and see mm-hmm. what what solid numbers. But
yeah, Blink 182.
Okay, well, I'll let Kim do see if she ever comes up with that. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one was kind of the reason why I came up with the idea for this topic when we were talking about throwing stuff, ideas around, only because I didn't know, and also because this band kind of stuck out to me after a while, because in my opinion, their music was starting to lose, what's the word?
Not appeal,
I guess like creativity or,
authenticity.
I guess we'll go with that. Now, I'll you guys will see why. So first off, I mean, I was never really a big fan of this band, but mm-hmm. their music just got worse to me, I guess. Theory of a Dead Man. So
okay,
this was fairly recent too, I didn't know. So Theory of a Dead Man is a Canadian rock band mm-hmm. that formed in 99. They were actually picked up by Chad Kroeger of Nickelback. Mm-hmm. And they were signed to his label when he created a label. So they've been Theory of a Dead Man since 99, right? So in 2017, they came out with an album called Wake Up Call. This was their sixth album. And they decided to shorten it to just Theory. So now they just go by Theory. I even checked their website. Their website is just like Theory Music or something like that. So I was trying to look at the reasons as to why they changed their names, especially these bands that like decided to change their name like so far into their career. Like, you're on your sixth album. What the fuck does it matter? Yeah. Anymore, right?
Right.
So this was the reason. The reason was the group cited that discussions involving the name of their band with people who were unfamiliar with their music was challenging. So basically what they were saying is they were having conversations mm-hmm. with people who were unfamiliar with their music, and they were trying to explain to them what their name was. But I'm like, okay, so if you're going to wait till your sixth album to even, I guess, take into consideration mm-hmm. why people aren't listening to you or why they're not interested, like, what does the name matter? You know what I mean? Like, right. if they're not, like, why would you have to explain your name to somebody if they're not familiar with your music? You know, like,
yeah,
it makes no sense, right? That reason. Like, no. This was from Wiki, and this was from the members. Mm-hmm. And also, too, I guess they wanted to try to find another reason for it. And vocalist Tyler Connolly said that he kind of compared their name changing it to, like, how Red Hot Chili Peppers sometimes abbreviates their name to Chili Peppers, which I call mm-hmm. bullshit on that, because Chili Peppers don't abbreviate their name to Chili Peppers. Other people do, yeah. just when you're just...
in conversation.
Yeah, and that's yeah. what every...
And you just know what somebody's talking
Yeah, you
about.
Just... And I think... a lot of bands have that. Like, even Metallica is one word, but some fans right. call them Talica.
Right.
Like,
but the name that they gave themselves isn't derived from the original name. So it's not like, right?
Well,
like, what did you say it was?
Theory of a Dead Man.
Okay. So and then the new name?
This theory.
Oh,
so
okay,
basically,
okay.
they just took off of a dead man. But it doesn't, mm-hmm. like, first off, I think it would be harder to explain to somebody if you're just theory, because theory is just one word. Anything could pop up put theory. But if you're theory of a dead man, that's more...
specific.
It's yeah. more specific. Yeah.
Searchable.
Why do you have to explain that to, like, no one fucking cares. Like, you know what yeah. I mean? Like,
and we had a whole episode yeah. about dumb band names yeah. and a lot of those bands are really popular and famous. So
yeah.
I'm sure it doesn't matter.
And according to Wikipedia, with some interviews, apparently, like, that's what it was. The reason was because it was easier for them to explain the name to people who didn't know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that makes no sense to me. Like, and then also, too, they changed their name with that. So they ended up going from rock. They were like alternative rock, right? They were all right. Then they ended up with that album, they ended up moving into pop rock. So now their music's kind of more generic now.
Okay.
It's more Nickelback-y.
Okay.
But yeah, so that, too, I mean, it made no sense to me.
I wonder if it's because they have a new... like, I mean, they have a shortened name. I wonder if they feel like musically they should reinvent themselves as well.
Well, I think the music thing was kind of going in that direction anyways.
Okay.
So this is my opinion, but from what I noticed, they are one of these bands that like to jump on trends. Mm-hmm. So, like, apparently Maroon 5 did the same thing, that Maroon 5 was a lot more, like,
mm-hmm.
leaning toward the rock side when they first came out. And okay. then they started leaning more to, like, the pop side, and they mm-hmm. saw, like,
money.
Yeah, and then yeah. so they started, like, cashing in on certain, like, trends, I guess. Mm-hmm. And Theory is starting to do the same thing. I noticed Papa Roach doing it a little bit in the past two albums, where the guitars kind of were getting pushed to the background, and up front was more electronic stuff mm-hmm. and more like it was more like chorus oriented, where, like, you were trying to get a hook more with, like, just generic, you know, like gang vocals and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like with little kids singing and stuff. But, like, they were trying to do the same thing. And I think it just kind of happened at the same time, like, mm-hmm. by coincidence. But I don't know. I think they should have stuck with their old name. It was just stupid to me, pointless to change the name,
yeah,
shorten it to Theory.
Late in the game, it does.
Yeah, it just
odd.
The reasons kind of dumb. But I also right. wanted to add the reasons on mine just to right. talk about them. But so, yeah, we all agree that that was a dumb move, right?
So, yeah. So I found... sorry.
No?
Yeah. That there was, like, this thing where it's like, was it Blink 182 or is it Blink 182 or is it Blink 182?
That's
or
who, yeah.
is it? And Tom DeLonge, I guess, you know how these guys, they joke around.
Yeah.
He said that it's actually Blink 182. And that's the funny. Explanations of the 182 include the number of times Al Pacino's character Tony Montana says fuck in Scarface.
Oh.
The number of the ship on which Hoppus's grandfather served in the Marines, and Hoppus's ideal weight. This came from their book, Blink 182 Tales from Beneath Your Mom. And it just, but ultimately the number's meaningless.
Wow. Okay. I mean, so it could have been what I said, a crap shoot.
And
right.
it's Blink with a lowercase b, not a capital
B. Oh, yeah, not
b.
a capital mm. B. Yeah, you know, I think, like, if I had to write that, I mm-hmm. never, like, and you, yeah, lowercase b, I've never pictured it with a capital B, but,
well, this is all, I was like, let me look at my shirt,
it's oh, that's
all
caps, yeah,
no,
that's, But yeah, even like I saw some stories where like even bands changed like the stylization and that counted toward it. But we'll talk about it later. Who else has another one?
I think Frankie has some just like that, right?
But
where the band changes their name because they're changing their sound or the artist does. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
What you got?
Yeah, I think I've got some. Well, I guess, you know, feeding into the whole Guns N' Roses thing, talked about Slash. Talking about Stone Temple Pilots.
Man, I gave you like the perfect like transition into those specific ones. But that's cool.
Well, because, you know, because Slash used to play in Velvet Revolver with Scott Weiland. But Stone Temple Pilots, you know, prior to their name, they were known as Mighty Joe Young. But there was a blues artist who was already using that name, so they couldn't do it. So they then changed their name to another, I guess, gross sounding name. And you could, you know, find that on your own.
I think I saw it, but I don't remember it. That's cool. I'll look it up.
Yeah. Basically, Shirley Temple's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay, that. I remember now.
And
because the STP.
Parts.
Right. But they wanted to keep the STP. But they wanted to keep the STP. So, you know, like the logo. So they changed their name to Stone Temple Pilots. which makes me wonder, like, how is it that they got away with sharing the same logo with STP? Like, the brand.
I always wondered that, too. I used to have a sticker that was. It was legit a Stone Temple Pilot sticker, but it was
identical.
And I was like, what the?
Yeah.
You know, I always wondered that too, as just side note real quick. But CKY, their font is Ozzy Osbourne's font, and that's right, his specific font. Yeah, so I'm like, I mean, maybe they asked permission, I don't know, or maybe it's one of those things where like, meh. It's like, you know, where they feel like, oh, you know, it's kind of, what's it called?
Maybe it's like a public domain thing or something?
No, not
or?
A public domain thing, where it's more like, oh, that's cool that they're using our font. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
I see.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. But
that's not how lawyers think them, right?
Yeah, exactly. But they only get involved when
there's big money to be had. Yeah. But you would think that there would be big money to be had when the bands are successful, or like STP. I mean, they're pretty big. And
and then after get some money. And then after Scott Weiland died, you know, Chester Bennington joined them for a little bit. But here's the thing. They went by Stone Temple Pilots with Chester Bennington, and they released one EP.
They added with Chester Bennington.
Yeah, with Chester Bennington. Well,
kind of like Sublime.
Yeah,
Sublime with Rome. Yeah.
So it makes me wonder, you know.
Well, that was a legal thing, the Sublime one. Yeah.
But it makes me wonder, like, was Chester not part of the band? Because it was STP with this guy.
Well, no. I don't think so. I think, funnily enough, that we brought up the Sublime, because Sublime, it really was Sublime with Rome singing, but they the family didn't want them to continue as Sublime with him calling themselves Sublime without, what's his name? Singer. I forgot his name.
I can't remember.
Oh, the original dude?
Yeah, the original guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyways, so, sorry. So anyways, but yeah, so... So since the family didn't want that, they had to do it another way, which was Sublime with Rome. So they just added that. I mean, I think he was part of the band. I mean, I never saw him. I never saw that he wasn't.
The only reason I say that is because, you know, he was with the band for about a year. They put out an EP.
They toured too, right?
Yeah, they toured too. But now they've got the new guy, and they're just back to Stone Temple Pilots. So I wonder, it makes me wonder if Chester was just considered, I mean, I think at the time he wanted to be a part of the band, but I think he didn't want to disappoint like the hardcore Stone Temple Pilots fans. So I think he left out of respect for their legacy.
That makes more sense. You know, I didn't snap to that. I forget that they have a new singer because I don't like them, but I don't like the way he sounds.
Yeah, because otherwise they would have called themselves Stone Temple Pilots with Jeff Gutt, which is his
name. That's his name. That's right. Yeah, I forgot what his name was.
That's unfortunate.
You're right. I never thought about that, but that makes more sense. And also too, like, Chester doesn't seem like he would have had the time to, because I think when Linkin Park does stuff, they're like, they're busy, and I don't think he would have had time to balance both bands.
Probably not.
But I don't know. That's interesting. That's a good one. I liked it.
And I guess also too, keeping in line with that era of music. I don't really consider them, you know, together, but in that era of music, Pearl Jam.
You don't consider them together? Oh.
Well, like sometimes, like STP and
Oh, I see. Well, okay, Jam. I thought you meant like they are together. They're still together.
Because they're more, they're more like post-grunge, aren't STP, right?
Yeah.
Because they were like right at the end of, I don't know if they're considered, or they're, are they considered grunge? Like,
not, they weren't at the end. I mean, they were around for sure by like 91 or 92.
But to me, they were always more hard rockish than they were grunge to
me. Yeah, I don't... But they were definitely in that time, same time frame.
Okay. And maybe this is a different thing because Stone Temple Pilots came from San Diego and all the other grunge bands were from Seattle. Mm-hmm. So Seattle definitely had its sound in San Diego at the time. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I just don't consider them grunge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. 89. I guess I never realized that. Okay.
Yeah. So I just don't consider Stone Temple Pilots grunge. And actually, you know how they met? It's a crazy story. I remember reading it a while back. So Scott Whelan and Robert DeLeo, the bassist, they were at a Black Flag show in San Diego. And they got to talking, you know, like they met at the show. They got to talking and they both found out that they were dating the same chick.
What the
hell? Yeah. But, okay. You know, instead of letting that come between them, you know, they just became buds. Instead of letting that come between them, they both dumped that girl and they decided to start a band.
Huh. Okay.
It's romantic.
Yeah, right.
That's crazy. I know. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Like, but how do you like, how does that come up? Like,
I don't know.
Like, oh, I'm like, oh, my girl's at home or whatever.
Here's her picture.
Yeah. He's like, oh, wait a minute. Like, that's, I took that picture. Yeah. Right. She sent it to me. Yeah. That's crazy. Oh, wow. Okay.
But yeah, Pearl Jam. It's another band that came out around that same time as Stone Temple Pilots did. And, you know, prior to the name they have now, they were known as Mookie Blaylock.
Remember, we talked about that on the Dumb Band Names episode.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about that one is, you know, they were already signed to a label and they didn't have a name. You know, the label was just like, take your time. When you have a name, come to us. But the band was, they had an allowance that the label was paying them. And what they would do with that allowance is they would go and buy like NBA playing cards.
Okay.
And when they came time, like the execs called a meeting and said, "Hey, you guys got to come up with the band name in an hour."
They picked a fucking card, right?
They picked the card, yeah, and they said no for legal reasons. You can't.
Okay.
So you know they went with Pearl Jam.
Should have gone with Upper Deck.
Upper Deck, right? Ah, that would have been a good one. But their debut album 10 is named after Mookie Blaylock's jersey number.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so they still honored that you know that part of their love for the NBA. And I think he played like what, point guard or point forward for the New York Jets at the time. Wait, New Jersey Nets. Yeah, the New Jersey Nets. And then I think he moved to Florida or Atlanta after
that. Man, that was a while, because I know all the freaking basketball names have changed. I forgot.
Yeah,
they were New Jersey Nets before. Now it's, well, Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn something. I don't know.
The Brooklyn Nets now. They were for a while. I don't know. Because Jay-Z had bought them, I think.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So,
well, that's another guy that changed his name, too.
Oh, Jay-Z. Yeah. To all caps.
To all caps. And then he dropped the hyphen.
Yeah. I didn't. So, did you guys know that? So, Jay-Z was, of course, J-A-Y hyphen Z. But then I guess the whole, from what I saw, it had to do with the whole thing about when he cheated on Beyonce or something, allegedly or something.
Well, I don't know.
And then, yeah, it had something to do with that. And then he just changed it to Jay-Z, all caps, without the hyphen.
What about Snoop Lion?
That was on Frankie's list.
That was what I was trying to second to for you.
Well, you want to go into the Snoop Dogg then?
Unless you want to talk about it.
Yeah, both.
Oh, I don't know enough. Sean Diddy Combs.
That was another one, too.
Oh, God, how many times did he change his name?
At least three times. But no, Snoop Dogg was an interesting one. Because now he's Snoop Dogg again. Right?
Yeah. Snoop Dogg, yeah. So he started off as Snoop Doggy Dogg, then shortened it to Snoop Dogg, and then went by Snoop Lion after he spent like a year in Jamaica studying Rastafarianism.
Yeah, he got into that.
And I mean, he got really into it that he started believing that he was the reincarnation of Bob Marley and released an album called Reincarnation. And
sounds like
Snoop and then Dogg. He grew out of it, then he went back to Snoop Dogg, and I think for a very short time he went by Snoopalicious.
Really?
Yeah. Awesome.
All right, I think I like that better. That was interesting. Well, speaking of bands that were artists who started with one name, then went back to the other, this one flip-flopped twice, three times. I don't know if it's on your list or not, but I want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Lamb of God.
Yeah.
So Lamb of God, I know we talked about this, I think, briefly in one episode. So they're from Richmond, Virginia. They mm-hmm. formed in 94. For those of you who don't know, they're a heavy metal band. When they first formed, they were known as Burn the Priest. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they were Burn the Priest from 94 to 99. So it was only for one album. Mm-hmm. Apparently, from what Wiki says, they changed their name because of the altered lineup that they had at the time before going into the second album, and also to avoid being mistaken for a satanic metal band.
Yeah.
So they didn't want people to think they were a satanic metal band because they weren't. So then they ended up changing their name to Lamb of God.
Which mm-hmm. makes me think they're a Christian band.
Yeah, which some people.
Yeah, think of course. Like, right. So you don't want to be confused as a Satanist, but do you want to be considered Christian?
Well, I mean, I guess
Christian bands.
Apparently, some people want to change to Christian bands because they have more of a following. But you know,
maybe another. You know. But the funny thing is that they could have stayed as Burn the Priest because they eventually ended up signing to Prosthetic Records, and they're like full metal,
yeah,
like label.
But I think like for them, it was more about how like they didn't want to be put in
and stuff.
Well, I think for them is they didn't want to be. They didn't want people to see the name and think that they were playing this type of metal when they right. were really this type of metal, which I guess it kind of makes
or
sense.
Or that they're promoting hate crimes against priests.
Well, that too. Yeah. That too. So this I found really interesting because they changed their name on their second album. So their first album as Lamb of God came out in 2000, and it was New American Gospel.
Right.
So then some time went on, and for their ninth album, they had gone like on hiatus or something. I know Randy Bly had gotten into that before this. He right. was in jail for a while overseas right. and the whole thing happened. But for their ninth album, they actually changed their name briefly back to Burn the Priest to release a cover album. It was called Legion XX. So basically it was just Lamb of God doing covers. But for that album, they went as Burn the Priest. And then, of course, they went back to Lamb of God.
Interesting.
So that one was crazy to me, too, because it was Lamb of God, then Burn the Priest, then Lamb of God. Then they went back to Burn the Priest, then back to Lamb of God. But it was just funny how they just did that quick nod to their original name. And
right.
That was, I don't know, I just found that interesting as hell. How kind of like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They did it an extra time. So they right. changed once, changed again. They changed three times, yeah. So.
Wow.
But, yeah. Keeping those same names. But yeah, I thought that was interesting as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since we were talking about bands that were changing their names for legal purposes, I was just going to mention there are quite a few bands that like formulated in one country but could not be known as that name in other countries. So for example, there are a lot of bands from the UK that had a name that was totally fine there, but when they came over here, they had to change it. So one is... The Beat, they were called The Beat in England, but here they're known as the English Beat. Mm-hmm. And there's a band called The Charlatans, but here they had to be called The Charlatans UK. And there are a lot of little ones like that.
Same thing with Chameleons.
The Chameleons as well. Yeah, I was thinking about that one too.
Oh, wow, that's
interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know about those. Okay.
It's like that band Ghost. Like in some parts of the world, they're known as Ghost BC.
Damn it. I wanted to talk about them so bad, and I didn't do any research on that.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, they're still known as Ghost BC in some parts of the
I think legally, yeah.
I thought they dropped the BC.
I don't know. Unless they, like, won some legal battle. But, for a while, in certain parts of the world, they were known as Ghost BC.
Yeah, it's going to be my hangover. I'm gonna do some research on that. Because they were definitely, like, in my head. But when I started doing the research, I got caught up in these other bands, and Ghost totally slipped my mind because I remember when they first came out and you first started talking to me about them.
Right,
they were Ghost BC, and then I totally forgot that they dropped the BC. And now from what I've seen here in the States, it's Ghost. But I didn't. Yeah,
yeah.
I'll do some research on that.
And the same thing also with the Raconteurs.
Oh yeah, I was going to bring that up too.
In the rest of the world, they're known as the Raconteurs, but in Australia and New Zealand. They're known as the Saboteurs because there is already a Raconteurs in Australia who also have the rights to that name in New Zealand.
Wow.
And I think Jack White just didn't want to go to court over it. So he just decided just to rename the band, you know, for that particular market. Yeah.
Well, there was another one too that I saw that it was for the reasons as y'all are saying, except instead of adding something to the name or tweaking it quite a bit, they ended up changing it altogether because there was another band overseas that had. So like one of them on here was Black Sabbath. I didn't know that Black Sabbath, before they were Black Sabbath, they were called the Polka Tolk Blues Band.
Right.
So then I apparently I think there was another band like that, and then that kind of had that name. And so then they changed their name to Earth. Mm-hmm. And there was already a band called Earth. Yeah. And then they ended up changing it to Black Sabbath, which was, I didn't know, based off of a, it was named after a movie. And apparently that movie Black Sabbath was playing across the street from like one of the rehearsals or something. And they named the band Black Sabbath. Okay. And I was like, what the hell? I was like, I didn't know that. But yeah, so it was kind of the same reason. Like they had two names before, but they were taken somewhere else, like in another country or something. So they had to change.
And the same was true for Death from Above, right? They had to add the 1979
yeah.
at the end because there was, I read that it was like an LCD sound system side project that was going to be called Death from Above.
Wow.
So the name was already taken. So they had to add something to it, and they added 1979 because it was the drummer's birth year.
That's
and now I think they've shortened it to DFA 1979.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So that's like they're on our third band name.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm sorry, they were on my list too, but going real quick back to Puff Daddy and Snoop Dogg changing
their
names.
Right.
I didn't realize that J-Lo now, when she first came out, she went as J-Lo, but now she goes as Jennifer Lopez. Oh. So, like, it's, like, spelled out now, and it's her name. And I didn't realize. No, because, I don't know, you want to do research on that real quick? Because from what I saw, she was J-Lo first, and now she goes by Jennifer Lopez.
She's all grown up.
But I think some people still call her J-Lo, but J-Lo was like her first stage name. Did you guys had to have had David Bowie on your list, right?
No, I didn't because I feel like that was too early in his career.
All right. Brett, I mean, no comment? No,
I didn't have him on my list either, but I was going to bring up another persona, because I don't know if you put him on your list or not, but Garth Brooks.
Oh, Garth Brooks.
Because remember, he changed his name to Chris Gaines, and he was like, he went from country to like rock.
I remember that briefly that I forgot.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome.
That's crazy. Okay, Garth Brooks. Do you know? Okay, so
I don't know anything about it. I just remember when it happened, and everybody was like, what the hell?
So that he changed his name because he was changing musical style.
He changed genres, yeah.
Oh, and wasn't he supposed to do like a documentary on this Chris Gaines character or something?
Yes, yeah. Like there was a persona.
This sounds very familiar. Mm-hmm. How long ago was this? This was not that long ago, right?
Early 2000s?
Early 2000s, I think.
Oh, shit. This was a while ago. I forget now. Early 2000s, like almost 20 years ago.
I know. Isn't that wild?
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to look more into that. So he was on my list too. You guys probably know more about him than I do. Maybe you do too. But Prince?
Oh, yeah.
So he changed that mid-career too, right? Because to just the symbol. And then back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's where that whole thing came from, right? Where Prince, the artist formerly known as Prince, which is what this episode is going to be called, formerly known as.
Yeah.
He changed into that.
The symbol.
The symbol, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was meant to symbolize love.
Love, yes.
Yeah.
Which the guitar was shaped after.
Yes.
That symbol. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that guitar is badass. But anyways, so then he went back to Prince? Okay, I see. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so what happened was he was frustrated with his record label at the time, I think Warner Brothers, and he wanted out of his contract. So he went behind the record executive's back and just changed his name to a symbol. And the reason behind that is because, you know, he could secretly record music and put out albums quicker to get out of his contract. Because he signed like an X amount of records, like a deal with Warner Brothers.
And I mean, that's essentially starting a side project though, right? Like, I mean,
in a way, but see, the thing is, like, he's still writing music as himself, but artistically he's under a different name.
Yeah, that's the same.
So I think what happened was he found a loophole.
Well, yeah, it's like if we had a band and we were like Mario and Frank, mm-hmm. and we're like, oh, we don't want to release this for this, we'll just change to Frank and Mario.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that kind of sounds like what he did. Like, it's the same shit.
Yeah.
Same, but different.
Yeah, so he ended up finding a loophole so that he could, you know, get out of his contract quicker than...
And still produce
music. And still make music. And then just the marketability of a symbol was difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm
and
sure.
Then he decided, well, I'm going to call myself the artist formerly known as Prince. But then also, too, that's just too long and you can't really market that. And then he just went back to Prince.
Yeah, that's okay. That's crazy. speaking of symbols, well, Kim, do you got one?
I didn't get too much on it because I couldn't really find anything, but Behemoth was originally Baphomet.
Oh, wow. That's
very amazing. Briefly, but then they finalized to Behemoth.
And we
actually, Baphomet's cooler.
Yeah, Baphomet is cooler.
I pointed that out to you last night.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so we were watching a movie with Emma Watson and what's that guy's name? Ethan Hawke?
Yes.
Okay.
What was that movie called?
Regression.
Regression, yeah. And this movie took place in the 90s.
80s.
In the 80s. And there's a Behemoth poster in the background.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
And I pointed out and said, you know, like the movie's in a different era, but the band came like later.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But it's because it was a movie based on like the satanic rituals and killings that were going on in the 80s. And I guess they just saw Behemoth.
It's called Regression?
Yeah. And they saw Behemoth with like their corpse paint. And they probably didn't bother to think that's a band. So let's just like put their poster in the background somewhere.
I'm glad we saw them. I'm glad we got to see them. What's up, Matt? They're really good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They got like a whole little thing that they do with the little thing of fire.
Oh, cool. Nice. Okay.
And oh, it's funny because when we saw them, so like the singer, like he had this like thing of. He has a guitar strap that I want.
Okay.
It's fucking expensive, like $250.
Oh, I was it's say, like oh, birthday
a studded,
boy.
a black leather studded spiked strap.
It's probably like vegan.
I still have it on my list. But anyways, so they had this thing, right? And they, like was it a pit? And like they had fire in it. And so like the singer, like well, Nurgle got to like these sticks and like right. And then so like he threw it, like one fell, and like the stagehand came and he's like looking for the flame stick. I'm like, dude, it's behind you. and the fire stick's like rolling on the ground on the stage, and like it ended up burning out. But it was funny because like you know how the stage hands come and then they run off stage real quick. Yeah, well, like he was looking for this damn stick with the fire. I was like, dude, it's on fire. Like literally behind
look
you.
Around.
I just looked like it's still. But yeah, it was hilarious. Yeah, but no, they were good. Yeah, they were really good. So speaking of symbols, we talked about this on our bad band names episode. Panic at the Disco.
Yes.
So Panic at the Disco, they're from Las Vegas, Nevada. They formed in 2004. They're pop rock, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I couldn't remember too much about this, but Panic at the Disco dropped the exclamation point.
Oh, did they?
Yes. In 2008. So this was 4 years after, and this was actually on their second album. It looks like they had changed their musical style. So what we were talking about before, mm-hmm. So they decided to drop the exclamation point. But that only happened for a year because the exclamation point came back in 2009. So they only dropped it for a year. And the reason I found on Google, apparently they told MTV, guitarist Ryan Ross said that at least for me, it got a little bit annoying to try to write that every time you were typing the name. It was never part of the name to us. People started writing it and then it ended up in more and more things like that. So there it was. So he said that like, he was saying that it was just weird to write it and people put it in and that it just became part of the band name. But then also too, I had read somewhere else that another member in the band, when they were sending a demo to one of the guys from Fall Out Boy, because they're the ones that signed. I don't know his
Those
name.
Those are like two of my least favorite bands.
Exactly. No, mine too.
like, I don't know.
Okay, so the singer's name. I know the guitarist is Pete Wentz. Singer is...
Stump, right? Something Stump.
Patrick Stump.
Yeah.
So his label... signed them. They were going to send a demo to him. And then the guys were like, oh, one of the guys put an exclamation point. They're like, oh, it just looks cool. And it wasn't supposed to be part of the name. Basically, both stories state that the exclamation point was never supposed to be part of the name. It was something that just was put in it and ended up staying. I'm like, well, yeah, that's y'all's fault. And then the exclamation point ended up coming back. So I was like, that was kind of pointless too. Like, you know, the exclamation point, first off, is kind of stupid. Then they took it off for a year and then it came back.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's I remember when that happened and I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then it came back. So so that was my symbol story.
Whatevs. Yeah.
Who else got something?
Well, I don't know. Does anyone else want to go?
I'll go for it. Thank you.
She's like, I'm drinking wine. Go for it.
So these next three bands I want to talk about.
Oh, shit. Oh, I got three bands on my list, too.
Only have one more.
Connected. And these are all, like, for legalities.
Uh-oh.
Oh, again.
Okay.
So
legalities. Okay.
Bands like Jefferson Airplane and Queensryche and Misfits.
Oh, that's okay. Right.
Oh, the Misfits.
Do you want one of those?
Well, if you want, we can share the Jefferson Airplane one, because I actually did quite a bit of mapping over here for Jefferson Airplane.
Okay, no, I didn't get that extensive.
Okay, well, I'll...
But I mean, I can just summarize it.
Okay.
So when some members of Jefferson Airplane left, they went and started Jefferson Starship.
Yes.
And then when some of those members left,
yeah,
they were legally bound to not use Jefferson and
or Airplane. And or Airplane.
Yeah. And so those dudes just called themselves Starship.
Okay. And you know what happened after that?
No, I don't know.
So when Jefferson Airplane, when those members made Jefferson Starship, they actually got a new singer and this guy named Mickey Thomas. So when they formed Starship, the whole thing, I think, so basically between these three bands, they've had tons of members. Like, I guess still not as much as Chicago, I think it was. Chicago had like shit ton of fucking members, like pages and pages of members. Yeah. So Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship, and Starship essentially the same thing. But what happened was when some of those members left, Mickey Thomas decided to continue Starship. And he was like, well, because of some reasons too, he went from changing the name to Mickey Thomas's Starship, and then he changed it to Starship featuring Mickey Thomas. Yeah, that's his name, which is what they go by now, which is weird. Like the whole thing, like you were saying, legality reasons, Jefferson Airplane. Then I always thought it was, I mean, I guess I was kind of right that it was like the same band, but changing because the members changed, that the name changed because of members were swapping out, kind of like Lamb of God changing from Burn the Priest because they had a lineup change. Same shit, but this was more like, oh, like you can't use that name because we're not in the band anymore. Then it happened again. Then it happened again. Yeah. So basically this happened like three times with kind of the same group of people. So every time a new incarnation of the band came up, somebody was like, oh, I'm going to leave. And then the another person was like, no, you can't use that fucking name.
Right.
So, but yeah, I thought that was interesting as hell because we talked about it one episode. I was like, oh, just like Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Star. But it wasn't it wasn't really the same band. There were some members that carried over each time. And from what I saw, I don't think there was one member that was through all the incarnations. It was like one person, but in two, not in all three. So you were either in the one of the first two incarnations or the last two or three incarnations, but you were never in all three, which is weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
They had a shit ton of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. But thank you for bringing that up. Man, I did all this fucking homework for nothing on that one. But anyways, I tried to figure it out mostly. It was so fucking confusing that I had to write the members' names down to figure out what happened.
Dang.
But obviously it doesn't matter. So I'll make a blog.
Yeah, I mean.
I'll make a map. I'll draw it out.
It deserves its own blog.
It does, yeah. What else you got?
I also have Queensryche.
Okay, I don't know about that one.
And they're another band who, you know, they went by Queensryche for a whole... Actually, so what happened was their singer, Jeff Tate, was fired from the band. Or I think he quit the band in 2012. He was upset that the band had a meeting without him. And essentially fired his wife as band manager and his stepdaughter as fan club manager.
That's what the secret band meeting was about?
Wait a minute. Were they part of the meeting?
No, no, no. They weren't part of the meeting. I think just like the other four members of Queensryche got together.
But he fired his wife.
To fire his wife. The rest of the band got together to fire his wife.
Yes. Oh,
okay. Yeah, so the rest of the band got together.
That's why he wasn't invited.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
And
I got confused. I was like, wait, he fired his wife?
Okay. And they were just about to start like a South American tour when he found this out. Uh-huh. I mean, he completed the shows, but, you know, through the course of the shows, he just kept like harassing the band members like live on stage and just like kept saying shitty things to the audience, you know? Yeah. And when the tour was over, he walked out. And he owns some, he's got some weird like legal thing with the name Queensryche.
Yeah.
So when he left, the other members continued as Queensryche, but but Jeff Tate continued as Jeff Tate's Queensryche. So it's his version of the band.
Oh, no shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah. His version of the band. So that's how he got away with like with using that the band name. And then after releasing one album with Jeff Tate's Queensryche, he changed the name to the band. Yeah, he changed the band's name to Operation Mindcrime, which is like their 88 best-selling album.
Yeah,
which Queensryche, you know, tours every 5 years doing some anniversary.
I still hear the commercials in my head.
Yeah,
like, and I don't even listen to the radio, but I still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's funny, both Queensryche and Operation Mindcrime tour behind the same album like years later, you know, like as part of like anniversary.
That's so weird.
Things. Yeah, and then weird. And then Misfits too is another one too, when Glanzig
sounds gross.
When Danzig left the band, you know, of course he went off and did Samhain, he did Danzig, and then but he also owns the rights to the name Misfits.
Yeah.
So the Misfits that were left couldn't perform as Misfits. They had to perform as Jerry Only's Misfits.
That's right.
That's, I did not know about that. Yeah. That's so crazy.
Because it was a different version of the band.
Right. Yeah.
So they performed as Jerry Only's Misfits. And then, of course, you know, they patched things up and the original lineup is, you know, active again. Well, as of, you know, pre-COVID, they were active again. So, yeah, that was another thing is you can't use that name because I also own partnership. You know, I also own the name to it. So,
well, I actually have one now too, and it has to do with one of our favorite bands. And I actually talked about it in length last episode or episode before that.
Where's that CD at, bro?
I know it hasn't come in the mail yet. So CKY is one of our favorite bands, and we talked about multiple times that the singer left and he made his version of the band based off of song of CKY.
Right.
Well, before they were 96 Bitter Beans, he actually named the, when he left, he actually named the band Mecha CKY as a reference to Godzilla and Mecha Godzilla.
Okay.
Right. So they were Mecha CKY for a while. And then, because of legal reasons, he couldn't use CKY. So he ended up changing the name to one of the songs that they had. But yeah, that was kind of the same thing too, where like he changed it to, it was just an altered version of the band name, but he couldn't do it for legal reasons, so he ended up changing it. And I think there was a logo somewhere around too, but I think if you YouTube it, you can still see some videos of him performing as Mecha CKY, which is pretty crazy. That was another one.
It's also like that weird thing with Kiss and Gene Simmons. I mean, he was part of a band called Wicked Lester.
I remember.
And then, you know, Kiss happened, and I think now they've done some weird thing where they co-own the word Kiss. So, like, Hershey's Kisses, whatever contains the word Kiss, they receive some royalty from it?
No. Oh, I've heard something like that, but is that, like, is that an urban, like, legend?
I can't imagine that being true.
Yeah, I can't.
I have no idea. I don't know.
If I say Kiss right now, we're going to have to pay. Man, if he comes at me, I swear, guys, I'm fucking,
I don't know. I mean, that's the rumor that they co-own, like, anytime you market a product with the word Kiss in it, it doesn't have to be like the Kiss band. It just has to be the Kiss name.
Yeah, I don't think that can be true.
I don't think so.
There's
a couple of companies that are like beauty products named Kiss.
Yeah, like Kiss My Face, and there's some other ones too.
Every kiss begins with K. But also too, like our radio station.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, it can't be. Oh my God, come on, Gene. The one thing you need to shut down.
Shut them down,
please. I actually don't have any more stories, but I have a few honorable mentions. That's all I have.
I have one more.
What you got?
The Pogues. They were originally Pogue Mahone, which means kiss my ass in Irish. And they got pushback from the BBC because it was, you know, too scandalous. They didn't want anything to do with them. And so if they were going to succeed, they had to change their name. So they
turned
it down.
Pogues stand for by itself.
I don't, you know, I was wondering that. I'm not sure. Is it kiss or is it ass? Does it mean kiss in Irish? And then kiss would be suing the heck out of him if so, right?
Let's see.
Irish kiss.
What does Cokes mean? No, not Cokes, stupid. What does Pogues mean? Not Pog. Oh, my God. Never mind.
Well, you know, speaking of kiss, I just thought about Kiss Guy. Is he also paying? Is he also paying Gene Simmons money?
Well, he did even steal his face paint too. Yeah. So yeah, he's probably in prison right now. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I only have one more.
What you got?
Tony Flo and the Miraculously Majestic Masters of Mayhem.
Oh yes.
Who are now the Red Hot Chili Peppers and have been since 1983.
I kind of like the first name.
I know it's. I mean, it's long, but it's kind of cool. It's different. Yeah, it's kinda cool. I don't know. It was a derivation of a classic old school American blues or jazz name, that reading from this article was like, there was Louis Armstrong with his Hot Five, mm-hmm. yeah. and also other bands that had Red Hot This or Chili yeah. That. And there's even an English band that was called Chili Willy and the Red Hot Peppers, who thought that they had stolen their name, but no one has ever been the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, I like the first name. Nothing on Pogues.
It means kiss.
Oh, it means kiss.
Yeah. yeah.
So, it does. Well, they can't technically.
Like the kisses.
Gene Simmons probably doesn't know that.
I know, right? Yeah, yeah, true.
That's probably, yeah.
Don't tell him.
Oh, no, he does.
Apparently, Radiohead changed their name as well. I saw
that. Oh, I saw that on the list, too. I don't remember what they were because I don't like Radiohead. Either. But
they were... I can't remember why.
Something interesting.
Oh, Britt, I actually have your favorite band on here. U2.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. I actually like their original name.
It's okay, probably so better than the wait. Next name.
What original done. Name? They had two names before.
Well, the one I know, The Hype.
That's stupid. So,
I like it.
So what happened was...
It sounds new wavy.
So before Bono joined the band,
right?
They were called, this is a stupid name, the Larry Mullen Band.
Oh, named after their drummer, yeah. right? Yeah.
But it just sounds dumb. The Larry Mullen Band. So then yeah. Bono joined the band.
Sounds like a band we would have seen at that bar we went to that one time, remember? With all the like 60 and up
folk. Were they trying to take us home?
Yeah.
I remember that.
They're looking at you like a snack.
I remember that. And then Frank's all like, just like, nah. And we're like, dude, like, look at this guy. Like, yeah, he's like licking his lips and shit. We need to leave. So we left. But damn, I totally forgot about that.
You blocked it out.
So Larry Mullen Band. So then Bono joined and they changed the name to The Hype. Mm-hmm. And do you know why they changed their name?
Well, I know that a friend told them that The Hype sounded stupid.
Stupid, exactly. Yeah. And they're all like, yeah, it sounds stupid. And then, like, they were going through stuff. And then right. they came up with U2. But, yeah, The Hype sounds weird. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it sounds cool.
So you think the Hauke? Okay.
Yeah.
I think U2 sounds better than their previous two. The Larry Mullen Band sounds...
No, it would have been a shame, like an old though. Man band. It would have been a shame, though, if they kept the name The Hype, but they were all that hype.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you know. It just sounds weird. And then we talked about this one before mm-hmm. we started recording. What Creed was called. Ooh, excuse me.
Yeah.
What Creed was called before.
What was Creed called?
Naked Toddler.
Naked Toddler.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we were talking.
I blocked out that too.
That's
like stupid. Scarring.
Like, I wonder, imagine if they stayed. Like, how could you say that you listened to a band with that name?
Right? I wonder how many. Yeah. I wonder how many.
I'm a big fan of Naked Toddler.
My favorite band is...
Naked. Get arrested so quick.
You can wear a shirt that says Naked Toddler.
And somebody's all like, what?
Yeah.
I wonder how many pedophiles got excited when they saw that.
Dude, that seems very that's like...
so wrong.
Yeah.
I think you would get in trouble, like, even if... Man, I don't even know how to... I can't... Okay, let me start off again. Like, how could you be in a band named that? Like, I can't imagine Tremonti being like, yeah, this works.
And right? Isn't Creed kind of Jesus-y? Like,
Creed has to do with Creed. Well, somebody's I know.
I know Scott Stapp is religious, but I don't think he, like, really...
Aren't there some of their songs, like, religious themed?
Yeah, they're supposed to be, like, Christian.
But they're not...
With the band name Naked Toddler?
but they're not, like, exclusively Christian. I mean...
I thought they were.
I don't know, because I thought maybe, like, some of the themes play in here and there, but they don't really adhere to the Christian label.
I don't think they like market themselves as such, right?
Oh, but probably that's what it is. Oh, that's probably what it is. They are, but they don't say they are. Mm-hmm. Well, Naked
Toddler. I think that if you call yourself a Christian band, then it's going to put some pretty big limitations on how far you go because some people are turned off by that.
If you don't say it and everyone else does, it's.
Right. Yeah. Or if you just are without
happened with
bringing
the
attention
12 Stones.
To it.
Like, people are labeling them as Christian music, which is funny because there used to be, like, a public access channel or something that used to come on late at night when we were, like, in high school. Mm. And I would wake up and sometimes they'd be playing 12 Stones music videos. But then, like, I guess at one time at a show, audience members saw Paul McCoy drinking a beer and they're like, oh, you're a Christian rock. He was like, we never said that, like.
You made that up. And also, guess what? Christians
I can
drink.
Do whatever. You know, I can do whatever
I want. Just because you guys add exclamation points to our name doesn't mean it's part of our name.
Right? Doesn't mean we're yelling.
12
right.
Stones.
No, and I think the same thing happened with that band Under Oath is they came out as like a Christian.
But they were Christian though, right?
Yeah. Okay, so they were Christian and they talked about their Christian beliefs. But they didn't really want to be categorized as such, but they ended up getting categorized as, you know, as a Christian metalcore band. But, you know, what's interesting is that they ended up doing a few Ozfests, you know?
Well, did you see what happened when the singer, I don't know if they released an album, like, after this happened, but this was, like, 2 or 3 years ago. The singer posted a thing that he was going through some stuff, and he actually, like, denounced religion. Like, mm-hmm. And so, like, he was trying to, like, not say it because of the band he was in there, you know? They're big in the Christian, like, hardcore scene. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, I don't believe in God. Like, and these are my beliefs, and if you don't accept it, you know, whatever, whatever. And it was very interesting, dude. But, yeah, like, so, like, now they're not, I don't think they're in that circle anymore. But,
the same thing happened too recently with some Canadian Christian pop rock band. Like, I think one of their members came out and said that he wasn't a Christian anymore, and that he wasn't for years, but he just played the part, you know, because of the band and for, like, legal reasons or something. He just came out and said that he wasn't a Christian anymore, and he hadn't been for years, and it was like a big shock to the fan base and stuff. Wow. But I mean, I can imagine it gets, you know, tiring.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's not like a Christian or a religious based band, I mean, if you're playing a part because that's what the band is, you're going to get tired
after some time. Yeah. Trying to hold up to everybody's
expectations or something.
Yeah. There was one story I had. Mm-hmm. It was really, we don't have to talk about it too much.
Yeah.
But so I saw this article that this is super recent. This has to do with last year, 2020, with all the protests that were going on with because of what happened to George Floyd and with the whole Black Lives Matter movement. Like, you know, pretty much it was a big thing that happened last year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's pretty much all what the whole summer was. So basically, because of that, according to a USA Today article, I actually hadn't realized this, but this all happened last year. Lady Antebellum changed their name to Lady A.
That's right. Yeah.
Only because they were trying to make an effort to distance themselves from a term that ties to slavery. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. But I know they're like Southern, but I didn't know that's where their name came from. But because of what was happening, they changed their name to Lady A. So now they're Lady A.
Same thing with the Dixie Chicks,
the same thing. So this happened last year too. Yeah. Now they're the Chicks, and Dixie. They wanted to stay away from the association of the word Dixie being associated with the Confederate States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then the last band was actually one that we saw with CKY, Slaves. The same thing. They actually came out with a post on their Instagram and stuff, and a whole story saying that they wanted to change their name because of that reason, even though their name has nothing to do with that. Yeah. And so they said that they were going to change their name with the release of their album that came out last year. As of now, their name is still Slaves, but apparently their plan is to still change their name. They also have a new singer too. That singer that we saw. Mm-hmm.
You follow this band?
No.
I'm just messing with you.
Actually, the singer, Johnny Craig, Frank, he's actually, Johnny Craig was a singer for Slaves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's the guy that all the girls and teenagers were going crazy over. I don't know why, I couldn't remember his name, but so Johnny Craig is actually not in the band anymore, and now it's another singer. But yeah, so those three artists changed their names last year because of everything that was going on politically and you know, during the summer. But I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I didn't know about that either.
I knew about Lady A, but I didn't.
It's weird because I knew about the Dixie Chicks, but I knew about the Chicks.
Yeah, right. I didn't know about
Lady Antebellum, though. I have one more. I don't know.
Cool. I've got three more. I mean, I can just like try to condense it all.
No, go for it.
The Beastie Boys, that's another one. Mm-hmm. They were originally known as Young Aborigines, but, you know, they wanted to sound harder. So they thought Beastie Boys sounded like a street gang. Mm-hmm. I mean, it worked out, right? For like three Jewish white guys.
Right? And you said there was somebody else in the group too, right?
Yeah, there was they had a female drummer when they first started. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Their first album. That's so crazy.
And at first, I mean, it's you can still hear the influences throughout their career. But when they first started out, they were like a punk hardcore band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, they embraced hip hop and they became the Beastie Boys. But, you know, some of their later stuff, you can still hear like some of their punk influences and stuff.
Most albums have punk songs, like exclusively punk songs on them.
Yeah.
And even tell them what it stands for. It's silly. They make fun of it now because it's like Beastie. Boys entering altered anarchistic state of excellence. And what's the A? What? No, the I.
I don't know.
IE.
What the heck?
I can't remember, but it's pretty funny. They kind of make fun of it now, and especially since it's followed by boys.
Yeah.
So the first letter stands for boys, and then it says boys right again afterwards. So it's pretty silly.
What the heck? I didn't know that.
Yeah, actually, we were listening to the audiobook that one time.
Yeah, it's great.
That explains it. Another band that pops up here and there on the podcast is Joy Division.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And when their singer, Ian Curtis, died of suicide, right on the eve of their first U.S. tour, they decided they wanted to continue as a band. They wanted to continue making music. But they ended up changing their name to New Order.
Oh.
So they're still around, just, you know, different name.
Well.
And they've long outlasted Joy Division's short career. And also, my boy, Marilyn Manson.
What the heck?
Yeah,
does he have a country album under another name?
I didn't see that. What's the story on that one?
The band was called Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids.
Oh, okay, yes.
And I think they released
one.
They released like a demo or something.
Yeah.
That I think it was scrapped for a while.
Yeah.
And then later on, one of the former band members of the band.
Former band members of the band. Okay.
Okay, so
it makes sense.
So one of Marilyn Manson's former bandmates.
Okay.
released, like, I think he ended up somehow he got a hold of the master tapes of this recording.
Yeah.
And started marketing it and you know, released it, and you know, he had like this big legal battle going on because essentially I think what happened was he was saying that Manson owed him some royalties from the first album. Mm-hmm. And that these royalties were never paid to him. So he managed to get a hold of the master tapes for the first demo, mm-hmm. and remixed it, you know, remastered it and everything, and started releasing it. And that was like his hopes of like trying to win back some royalties that were owned, that were owed to him.
Wow. Huh. That's so okay. I guess. Yeah.
I mean, you can, if you wanted to, I mean, like anybody,
yeah.
The same thing with Linkin Park when they were known as Zero.
Yeah.
I think somewhere on YouTube, like their very early recordings are floating around.
They actually, just released some of those recordings on their, I think it was a 20th anniversary, like box set.
Mm-hmm.
They have, it's like all on vinyl.
Okay.
There's some CDs in there too, but they actually released the tracks that they had as Zero on there. Because I think some you could only get, like, if you were part of the Linkin Park Underground fan club.
Okay.
But these are, like, all together on that. The 20th anniversary of Hybrid Theory, my bad. So, yeah, it was the 20th anniversary of the first album.
But, and they also went by Hybrid Theory, too.
Yeah, they also went by Hybrid Theory. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Y'all don't have anything on Depeche Mode? I think I saw Depeche Mode on a list.
Yeah, but I figured, you know, that was, like, really, really early in their mm-hmm. career.
Okay, so
I didn't include them.
Maybe we should do that later on.
Stuff later.
All right, we'll try that another time. I have one more. The Goo Goo Dolls were actually called the Sex Maggots.
That's right.
Before they were. So apparently the reason was they were going to play a show, and the show that they were going to play at, the club owner refused to put the Sex Maggots on the marquee. So mm-hmm. then they were flipping through a magazine, and they saw an ad for a Goo Goo Doll, whatever the fuck that is. And they decided to name the band Goo Goo Dolls. I didn't Google what Goo Goo Doll was because I was scared.
You just imagine a tour with Sex Maggots featuring Naked Toddler.
I know, right?
Supported by Shirley Temple's parts.
Yeah, the Dream 90s lineup, right? No. well, that's all I got. I mean, that was interesting. I learned a lot this episode. Sure. I hope you guys did too.
Yeah.
You guys don't have anything else, right?
No.
Okay. So next episode, should be a fun one. Favorite cover songs. We decided that before we started recording, which mm-hmm. is rare. We don't usually do that. But favorite cover songs. This is going to be a fun one for me because I fucking love, like, I even collect singles and EPs and soundtracks just to get versions of cover songs, like, in physical format. I just recently, I don't know if you've paid attention to our Instagram, Kim and I just found a fucking mint condition copy of the Dracula 2000 soundtrack, and I was hunting that forever because of System of a Down's Metro cover. And I've been looking for that CD for years, and we just found it this past weekend.
We also scored a Orgy single.
Oh yeah, we found a we were just talking about Orgy too. That's so that's right. Actually, we found a the Orgy single with like 5 remixes on it.
Wow.
So we had that, but yeah, no cover songs. I fucking love covers when they're done right. One of my favorite albums is Metallica's Garage Incorporated, which is nothing but covers. Yeah. Nothing but covers. But yeah, no. So that's next episode, guys.
Let us follow that up with, I'm sorry, with an episode of like really bad cover songs.
We can do that too, back to back. That sounds
We know those exist too.
We can do that too. So yeah, guys, whatever, if you guys have a favorite cover song, let us know on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can find all our social media and stuff on rocktalkhappyhourpod.com. You can also find the playlist to our Spotify Spotify playlist, whatever. You find a playlist on Spotify for our episodes, for all the bands we talk about on there.
Okay, so I have like a very, very, very throwback hangover.
Okay, oh shit, okay.
I think
okay.
I have one from the first episode.
So I don't know which episode it was, but we were talking about how Kirk Hammett was mentored by Steve Vai, right?
Oh, yes, yeah. I don't remember what episode that was either.
So what happened to Steve Vai would have like... What if he was the one to join Metallica? Like how would that have would it have been like too guitar heavy or
I think Vi is too much of a
showman.
Like, well, yeah, that too. Like he's his own personality. Like him and James and Lars would not have gotten along. Like that wouldn't have lasted long. Because also too, like if you see, you're familiar with the documentary Some Kind of Monster, right?
Yes.
So when they're trying out all the bass players, you saw all the bass players that tried out for the band. Yeah. Like those were all like these bass players, but they would not have meshed well with Metallica. Like you had Peppers Keenan from COC.
Right.
You had who else? What was that?
Les Claypool was also
Les Claypool. Uh-huh. You had like all these big name bassists trying out, and you're like, there's no way that these guys would have meshed with Metallica because they're so big, like they're their own. But like Robert Trujillo, he was an awesome bassist who like no one really knew. Like like people knew him out there, but he wasn't like, you've seen him, he's a pretty quiet chill guy. But he played with Ozzy, he played with I think he played with Black Label too.
He
played with Black Label too, and of course he played with Suicidal Tendencies. So like he had a good resume, but he was a chill guy that was, it was a perfect fit, you know what I mean? He wasn't gonna overpower the other personalities of Metallica, but I definitely wouldn't.
I remember reading a thing and saying that he saw his first $1 million when he joined Metallica. He said that wasn't like why he joined.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but.
Well, because he didn't even know about that. That was a thing that they threw in as a bonus, like just to be like, hey, you're part of the band. We're going to give you $1 million.
Signing bonus or something.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So, like, it was something that wasn't. Who knows if they were going to do it, you know. With anyone else, it was just one thing where they were like, oh, you know, you're a cool guy, and as a sign of I guess
good
not
faith
respect. Yeah, good faith. Yeah, good we're gonna faith, give you $1 million there for joining
and band. He outlasted what's his face, Jason Newsted. You know, I think he was only in the band for like 15 years, and Trujillo's been in the band for like what, almost 20 years now.
Oh yeah, that's right, man. Yeah, when did he join, like 2001? Well, that's when Saint Anger came out, right? Or was that
I think the
you're a bigger Metallica fan than me.
So I think the album came out in 03.
That sounds right.
And he had already joined the band prior to then, but he didn't record the bass. I think it was Bob Rock who did the bass. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Bob Rock, Bob Rock actually sold the rights to the Black Album for an undisclosed amount of money. But apparently it was like a fuck ton of money. And like Bob Rock, I didn't know, owned the
like exclusively the rights
The Black Album, and he just sold those, which is crazy because I just found out recently. So my Metallica collection is not really complete CD wise, and I realized that I had gotten a copy of Load, and on the back it didn't say Elektra, it said Blackened Recordings.
Okay.
And I didn't know that Metallica bought a lot of their catalog and put it on their own label, which is called Blackened Recordings or something like that, based off of their song Blackened.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't know that. So I have a copy of like, it's Load or Reload, and it's not from Elektra. It's from Blackened. I was like, what the fuck? But I didn't know that Bob Rock still had the rights to Black Album, which is crazy. He just recently sold the rights to that.
And you mentioned too that a lot of artists are selling the rights to their music now, right? Like, I think you said...
Oh, it's on a website. Where you can, like, buy the rights to their music and get royalties for it or some shit like that.
Yeah.
I forgot what it's called. Man, I had a fucking bookmark for that website. It's probably on this laptop somewhere.
You know, yeah. And I read about some guy who wants to buy the entire Beatles catalog.
Oh, yeah. Good
from
luck with that.
The Michael Jackson's estate.
That's... Well, I mean, he's got to be a billionaire, right? I mean, there's no one else. No one, like, with a...
I don't know, but it's
a regular job that can afford that.
But like, you look at this dude and you can tell he's just not, he doesn't look like a music person. He just looks like someone that wants to brag about owning the rights, you know?
I gotcha. Yeah. Well, like we had, this is a little off topic, but we actually came across a Foo Fighters performance from Austin City Limits on KLRN. And so we're watching it, right? And of course, Austin City Limits, like not the festival, but Austin City Limits itself. Like all these people were in the crowd. Like, of course, those tickets are expensive as shit. And you're all like,
they did not look out of place.
And they were like,
they look like they just got off work and like went to the, like, these older
the most awkward people in that
it was weird,
like nothing compared to the fans that we were around when we saw them in Austin, but like these were like, I can't even explain it, like you guys have to see it. Like we're all like, why are these people there? Like you can tell like they're there because they could be there it. Not because
right,
like, oh, they probably know
they
a couple
might,
of
yeah they might
a couple their company singles. Has season tickets to something like that. Events
or they know the songs that Kiss plays,
yeah, like
on
those
the
people that get those, or they used to, I don't know if they still do the season tickets to the Aztec. When I went to see Foster the People, there was this older couple there and they were like,
oh, you
who's
told me
playing
about that?
And they were like, they just have tickets and they were in GA and they were just there, like they didn't even really know like who was playing, they were just there.
That's cool, though. Huh. You know, checking out something new.
Yeah, that is cool. But I mean, like, man, Foo Fighters, like, that's... Like, that was one of my dream shows to go to. And it sucks you weren't there. I tried to get you to go, but...
It was a weeknight.
I know, but it was worth it to me. Yeah, I was like, really it's fucking... Yeah, that was
it's
shit.
It's complicated.
So... But yeah, okay, anyways, yeah. Cool. So next episode is going to be cover songs. Like I said, drop the cover songs that are your faves on our social media. And then we'll see you guys next episode for episode 26.